Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
The act of playing is one of the cornerstones in children's development and well-being, and the right to play is deemed so fundamental to a child's well-being that it is enshrined by the UN as a universal children's right. Well, earlier this week we had the inaugural International Day of Play, and for more on this and the general importance of play, I'm joined by Carolyn Parse, who is Children's Health Ireland's professional lead for healthcare play, and she's here in the studio. You're very welcome, and thank you for coming in this morning. It's great to have you with us. Now, the theme of the inaugural International Day was play is never just play. And that's a really good place for us to start, because children get so much more from play than entertainment. And that's really what we all need to learn, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Really, play is a child's entire world. It's everything to them. So what we may see as just play on the outside is actually a means for communication. It's a way to express themselves. It's a way to relieve their stress and to manage their emotions. It's a way to build neural pathways in their brains, you know, create new pathways as they develop skills and use their fine motor skills, their little, their fingers and their big muscles. It's a way for them to learn, you know, and practice things that they're trying to master.
And to play. Process what they've experienced.
Exactly, to process.
Mm-hmm. So all of those things are hugely important when it comes to play. So we need to create the space for them to be able to do it. But when we look specifically at play in a healthcare setting, it's something that has been used in the holistic approach to care for some time. Maybe if you can explain that to us.
Yeah. So, you know, we have in a healthcare setting, if you're lucky enough to have health play specialists, you'll find that there are techniques that we use that might be different from any other setting. And these would be things around preparation for procedures and around procedural support. So when a child's going into a procedure, you might coach them and play through that. We might use distraction techniques during painful or possibly threatening kinds of experiences in the hospital. And then post-procedural play that's therapeutic, where a child is able to play out and express their emotions or let down after maybe a challenging experience.
So let's talk about then, if you have a child who's going in for an operation or a procedure, what role does play play in in the preparation for that procedure? How does that work?
So the preparation piece, the play comes in where we introduce an opportunity for the child to become familiar with some of the medical equipment that they might come in contact with. We might play through a role play. We might use a doll. We might create a doll. We have some that are called calico dolls here, or blank cloth dolls that are completely blank, body outline, and the child can draw the face and, you know, make the doll, the buddy, anybody they want it to be. And then it usually becomes the patient. And then we play out What are the sensory experiences? What's the sequence of events that might happen with this doll? And we might do that with a baby doll, or we might do it with one of these. And then we, as we're kind of teaching along the way, we're listening for misconceptions from the child, or we're listening to their play. We're listening to maybe some of their fears that might come up through the voice of that doll.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting a sense of where the child is at before they have
the procedure. Yes, it's a great assessment tool through that play.
And then post-procedure then, is that helping the child to process what's just happened?
Yes, and reflect a little bit as well, depending on the age. And of course, our play specialists are able to gauge how to address the child, or how to gauge where to go with this in terms of how old they are, or where they are developmentally. But it may be through conversation, or it may again be through their play, where as we're playing, we're checking in again about misconceptions about what their experiences was like. We might do it just allowing them the opportunity to release through messy play, or we might even just play a game with them and then have a conversation if they're a little bit older about, so what was that like for you? Or tell me how it went. Was it the way we thought it was going to go? Is it the way we talked about? And then as they're sharing their experience, we're we're remembering, we're taking those little nuggets that they've taught us, and we're taking that to the next child. So let's say they say, well, it was much colder in there than I thought, or it didn't hurt as much as I thought it was going to hurt, or whatever it may be. We take that piece and we can honestly say to the next child, some children say this, some children say that.
And is there a growing awareness, do you think, in the medical community of the importance of play therapy?
Definitely. I would say definitely. In Children's Health Ireland, for sure, we understand that. Part of the message for International Day of Play for us at Children's Health Ireland was actually to expand play beyond the play department to all the adults that come in contact with children in a healthcare setting, so that you know that we all can address children in a playful way, and how that shifts their perception of threat if we start that relationship off with getting down to their level and maybe blowing some bubbles or asking them to do that for us or whatever it may be, but to keep play in mind in all of our interactions.
Because I'm sure not every healthcare setting has a play therapist who can spend time with a child. So is there another way to do it? Like if you have a play room with toys in a facility, does that work in the same way? I mean, it's not as good as one-on-one, I'm sure.
Well, what that does, and that's why both are important. So we have play specialists that are trained to work with children in a healthcare setting around healthcare issues specifically. And then we have normalizing play, and that's where the playroom is so important. That play space that's not their bedroom, it's not a treatment room, it's a separate space that's familiar. It looks like other places they've been before, has familiar toys and activities. And those rooms can be run by volunteers, they can be run by play assistants. We are lucky enough to have play assistants, and we could use a lot more, but we've got five great play assistants who can just keep those normalizing activities going, that gives a child a break, that gives them something to look forward to. Or if they've done something well for their procedure, maybe they've earned an extra visit, you know, to the playroom, although we don't usually use it that way. But they've got that to look forward to afterwards, for instance. So it does give that child's right back, you know, it's recognizes the right for that child to play, but the people that facilitate it are also really, really important, and that takes it to a whole other level.
And are you monitoring what games, what toys the child is choosing? Because what does that tell you about where the child is at in terms of processing what's been happening?
Oh, definitely. We would definitely be paying attention to that. Offering, we might, again, be able to give them a few choices, and depending on what they choose, we can kind of guess if they're really wanting to interact with others, for instance, or if they're wanting to do something more solitary. And of course, through their play, if they're younger, through their role playing, we can see what's going on with them.
And what do you say then to parents outside of the healthcare setting, parents and guardians, about the importance of play in a child's regular life, a child who is doing the normal things of going to school or going to play school? How important is it to create that space where they can play?
It's the most important thing, I think, because that's how they process their whole day. And kids can be so scheduled these days, so that they're going from one activity to the other. And we think, oh, well, they're playing, it's a sport, or it's dance, or it's whatever it may be, a music. But they actually just need some free play time as well to process. That's where the processing comes in, and that's where the stress relief comes in. So just creating a little bit of space and knowing that it's also just as valuable as maybe some of those structured lessons.
Is it important for the adult who's caring to be with the child and playing, or do you let the child go off and do it by themselves?
You know, there was a stat that came out of this recent campaign for International Day of Play that was 79% of children, so it was like, 79% of children surveyed wished that they could play with their caregiver or loved one more often. So that's a huge part of it. It's like it's a bonding experience, right? It's trust building. And also we find, I think, as parents or as caregivers, that, you know, think of the times you have sat down with a child and played with them and what you've learned, or maybe what conversation came up. You know, that's the time when that communication and that trust.
And in terms of the new hospital, the new children's hospital, which we talk a lot about on this program, but what will be the new facilities that you will have there when it comes to play?
So, Claire, it's really exciting. It's every day there's something new that's been finished. And right now, the hospital's built for play, first of all. It's built all around that. We'll have playrooms on all the wards. So open playrooms on all the wards, so that's kind of could be self-serve. It may be run by a play assistant, or the play specialist will work out of there. So children will have access to that play space on their ward. We'll have a variety of enclosed playrooms. We'll have an infant toddler room. We'll have a main playroom where children can go off their wards to that playroom. We'll have an arts and craft messy playroom. We'll have two adolescent recreation rooms, including kitchen facilities for cooking and things like that for teens. We'll also have our MRI simulator will come over with us for radiology, so they'll have that space, and that's a fun way to practice going through an MRI.
So you'll be able to play with that to show people what they get to go through.
And we have that right now at Crumlin, but that'll come with us, and where they get to practice what and feel what it feels like ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Very useful.
And yeah, very. And the other thing is that we'll have multi-sensory rooms, so places, multi-sensory rooms where kids can explore their senses and have personalized sensory experiences, mm-hmm. facilitated by the play specialists. And the other thing that's really unique and amazing is the sound ship that Arts and Health has commissioned. And it is going to be an interactive sound experience. They go inside this pod and the sound responds to their movement. So, there's just a wide
Sounds
range.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I know. And also, downside up tree houses and five outdoor playgrounds, including a physiotherapy playground.
So that'll be accessible for all, regardless of their ability.
Yes, everything will be accessible and open.
Right. Well, that sounds very progressive, and it's on the way on whatever date we see that hospital open. Carolyn, thank you very much for coming in. Carolyn Parse, Children's Health Ireland's professional lead for healthcare play. Now, a reminder that on Monday's show, we're going to be joined by clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman to answer your parenting questions. So if you have any questions you'd like to put to David, do get them in now. The email address is todaycb@rte.ie. Let's take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.